morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I have a wonderful person today as a guest, a really unique guy named Raymond Grace. He's a native of the mountains of Virginia, has studied and taught various forms of alternative healing since 1973. Among those he's learned from are Rolling Thunder, Cherokee Medicine Man, and Chief Two Trees, Cherokee Chief and Healer. Mr. Grace is a frequent teacher at the Ozark Research Institute's Power of Thought School. He has been a frequent speaker at the American Society of Dowsers and a keynote speaker for the Canadian Society of Dowsers, Southwest Dowsers, and Coptic Conference. He's been a speaker twice at the Total Health Show in Toronto and numerous other groups in North America. And so we're very lucky to have him with us today. He's going to talk to us about something we don't usually hear much about, and that is dowsing and working with a pendulum. Raymond, are you with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. I know most people probably think of a dowser as a guy with a forked stick looking for water, but it's so much more than that. Would you tell us a little bit about what dowsing is and what you can do with it?
Well, all dowsing really is the use of a physical object that tells us what we already intuitively know, but we really don't believe we know it. My friend Walt Woods had a definition for it. He called it mother's intuition with a readout device. And I really couldn't argue with that. What I use for dowsing, I use a pendulum most of the time. And I use, people ask what kind of a pendulum. I have a 45 caliber bullet on a chain that works real well. It raises eyebrows in some of the finer restaurants in the land. If I sit down there and energize water and the food, which I always do. So among the things you can do with it is get information that you would not normally have access to. Now, let me explain that. Most human beings operate in a beta brain frequency most of the time, and there is a frequency at the center of the alpha band at about 10 cycles per second, where what I believe is the higher consciousness, universal energy, the great spirit, God, whatever term you might want to use, vibrates. And dowsers, according to the scientific research that's been done, or brain frequency research, dowsers simultaneously function in all brain frequencies. So once you really get into this, what this does is put you on the frequency of what you might call universal energy, all-knowing, or whatever term you might want to use. And we're able to get information that we cannot normally get. Now, this isn't the only way to do it. You might call it meditation, you might call it prayer, you might have a dozen other names for it. But what it really is accessing the frequency at which universal intelligence exists. And dowsing seems to be a way to help us to do that. And what all you can do with it? Well, among the things is we change the energy of our food and water. You can also determine if something is good for you or bad for you. You can determine the integrity of a person. You can check travel routes with it. You can find out where the best bargains are if you're going shopping. There's just any number of things you can do with it.
Wow, that is amazing. How did you get interested in dowsing? Did you come from a family that were dowsers?
No, not really. I had heard of people finding water with forked sticks all my life, so it was just a part of the culture here in the mountains where I live in Southwest Virginia, and they didn't really think anything about it. What I didn't know, and none of the other folks seemed to know either, was you can do a heck of a lot more than just find water with it. So once I learned how to do this, I'm thinking, you know, we really need to expand on this. So I got into experimenting. What else can we do? And then I wrote a book on advanced dowsing called Techniques That Work For Me. But the way I got into it, I was invited to speak on mind development at the Appalachian Dowsing Society in North Carolina. Oh, that was back probably in 93 or so. And I realized these people got more going for them than they realize. Because they could get information really good, but they were limited in what they looked for. At least that's what I have found with most dowsers. They just have limited themselves on what they can do. They may be very accurate at what they're doing, but they just there's a lot more they could do. So I started looking and experimenting. Okay, what all else can we do with this? And there's very little bit that we can't do with it. It does what I call, and this is what I call my classes, I call them, it's how to stack the deck of life in your favor. We all wound up down here on planet Earth, third rock from the sun, and the place was in a mess when we got here. And going through life can be a struggle, or it can be a whole lot easier. And I decided to use dowsing to make my life easier and help as many other people that wanted to listen.
Well, you made a wonderful choice there. Thank you. We all thank you for that, because I used to go to a group here in Southern Nevada called the Desert Dowsers, and mostly they were only interested in finding water, although they did bring in some speakers that talked about energy and how to move energy and everything. And that's really what you're doing when you're dowsing, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Let me give you the three principles of everything I do. Number one, all things are composed of energy, and the intelligent human mind can properly direct energy. Number two, energy is impressed upon matter. And number three, energy follows thought. Now, what we do in everything that we do, really, is we change the direction of energy. It doesn't take any more smarts to attract good luck than it does bad luck. What it takes is a refocusing of the way you think.
Well, yes, positive thinking is always better. But you can use a pendulum also to change the way you think, can't you?
Well, you can, but actually the real truth is, Caroline, there's nothing magical about a pendulum. This is the biggest mistake most people make, is they give their power to a pendulum. And I hold up my pendulum in class, and I say, folks, this thing doesn't have any smarts. It's nothing but a bullet on a chain. The smarts is between the ears. And all this is something to help you believe in what you're doing. Like if you meditate on something, how do you know when to quit? Well, if you're dowsing, and this pendulum for a positive end result, to change something, to make whether it's prosperity or happiness or a better relationship or better health or whatever it is, you stop whenever the pendulum stops moving. And the length of time and the velocity at which a pendulum moves indicates how much energy is required to correct the problem.
Well, I watched some of your YouTube videos, and your pendulum is swinging like crazy, way out in a wide circle. And I've tried working with a pendulum, and maybe I'm not doing it right, but it does, mine doesn't make those huge circles like yours, and I worry that I'm influencing it with my own mind.
And just practice. Mine used to hardly move. None of this stuff came easy for me. Hardly anything in life did. I was too hard-headed to quit. But when I first started dowsing, my pendulum would hardly move a quarter of an inch. And I was working with my friend Walt Woods one day. Walt was one of the best-known dowsers in America. I learned a lot from the man. He passed over a little over a year ago. And I noticed Walt was moving like mine does now. And I just stopped and I told my pendulum, hey, I want you to move like his does. And it did. And I've had a number of people in class that will do the same thing. They will tell their pendulums, hey, I want you to move like Raymond does. And it will. But again, it's intent. Intent is the key word to everything we do.
Right. Exactly. I am well aware of that. And that's the I guess what I'm getting at is how we have to really be clear on our intent when we ask the pendulum for an answer, because otherwise we don't get a clear answer.
Well,
or we don't.
You have to ask the right answer before you get the right question. But please let me make a correction. You're not asking the pendulum.
Right,
you're
right.
Simply asking, call it your higher intelligence or whatever term you might want to use. And the pendulum is nothing more than a tool.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it like that, but you're
okay,
right. We're asking our...
I just cleared it up for the audience out there.
Yes. We're asking our higher power, our spirit guides. Now, when I used to go to a dowsers meeting, I would say, well, what is it we're working with that we're getting these answers? And they said, oh, it's the dowsing energy. And I'm like, well, what is the dowsing energy? And nobody ever gave me an answer. So, but I've read in your book, you talk about spirit guides. So that's basically the energy you're working with, right?
Well, I don't know that I can actually define it. I may not be able to. I will say this. I have every reason to believe that I can use dowsing to communicate with my spirit guides or what you might call the spirit world or higher consciousness or whatever. I have no doubt that we can do that. But is that where the answer is really coming from? I don't know. I hesitate to make a strong statement on that because I'm just not sure. But here again, does it really matter as long as it works? Well, to me it does. See, when I get information, I only ask two questions. The first question is, does it work? The second question is, does it help? And if it works and it helps, I never ask the third question. I just put it to use.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. I guess I just don't trust the answers I'm getting, and I'm afraid that I'm influencing it because, I want it to be a yes, you know?
Well, we can definitely influence it. You and me both can, and I have in the past. So what I do before I start to doubt, if it's something I have an opinion on, I ask to disregard my desires and opinions and get the truth whether I like it or not.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
To help. Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't
no
even thought about
it. There's no doubt in our mind that we influence it. Even under the best condition, we're probably going to influence it some.
Yes, that's what worried me about it, and so I didn't trust what I was getting. And, you know, this is something I hadn't even realized that I could make that statement in the beginning. You have such wonderful common sense that I could have made a statement in the beginning saying, okay, give me the right answer no matter what my thoughts or opinion on it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'll try that. Yeah. I'll work with that. Okay. Now, I had mentioned a little bit to you in your letter, in my letter to you about this thing about frequency, because I hear so much about frequency these days. There's all these people are talking about ascension and the fifth dimensional frequency, and other people are saying the Earth's frequency is speeding up. And you know, what is your take on this?
Well, I don't claim to be an authority on any of this stuff, but I'll tell you what I found. I've been measuring energy almost daily for 14 years and 2 weeks. I started on about the 30th day of September of 98. And since that time, the energy of the Earth and of human beings has increased 900%. I got a calculator the other day and figured it out. And I've watched this all along the way, and I can always tell when there's an energy shift. And the way I tell that is so many more people write to want to know what's going on. They're feeling it, but they don't know what it is. So I don't claim to be a prophet. I can't tell you what's going to happen or anything, but what I can tell you is that I am observing physical changes. And number one is the sun doesn't come up where it used to.
Exactly.
The sun seems to go further north. Sunrise is further north in the summer, further south in the winter. But what I'm more excited about than anything else is water. Because one of our the first priority of my foundation is to help clean up the water in the world. I made that set that goal 25, 30 years ago when I was a construction foreman. Didn't have to know how I was going to do it, but right now we're doing it in 58 countries. So that's one of the things I definitely want to talk about. But what I was going to tell you about was rain. I've been measuring the energy of rain since 97, and it remained pretty much the same, except until around the middle of March, and it started increasing. And now, if my dowsing is correct, it has increased over 35-fold.
Wow. Now,
right here is my just what I call barnyard logic. Whenever the sun no longer rises, where it has for us and all of our ancestors for all these hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years, and all at once it starts to move, or the earth turned, which I think is really what happened, and the energy of rain has increased 35-fold, I think it's something about to happen. I can't tell you what it is, but I'm really optimistic about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're definitely in a period of change, because I understand people's bodies are changing also, the frequency in people's bodies. And what may have worked medically last century is maybe not working the same way now, because our bodies are different.
I really am not in a position to say that. That sounds reasonable, and I certainly wouldn't dispute it. As far as frequencies, I can sum up in about two sentences all I know about frequencies. And that is, about 12 years ago, I woke up one morning, it was sort of like a voice that speaks to me every now and then, and it says, today you have to learn about frequencies. Well, I didn't even know the definition. But before the day was over, I had a fair amount of information. What I found was that each race of people have their own specific frequency at which the body vibrates. Now, let's give a definition here to frequency. Frequency is the speed at which an element vibrates. Energy, the definition I have for energy, is the amount of good that can be done. So I found there was a specific frequency for each race of people, for each species of animal, for each species of plant, for each disease, for all kinds of things. And what I also found, now that we're into this, is that hardly any human beings are vibrating at the proper frequency. Now, I went back in time to about 1900, and it looked like about 85% of the population was on the right frequency. I went on back to 1800, and everybody was. So I got to thinking what happened. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. I've got a reason for thinking it. Is AC current has messed up people's body frequency. Because one day I was watching a video of Amazon tribe, and that was filmed in 1970. So my mind thinks a little different than the average person. I'm thinking, I wonder what body frequency these folks are on. Well, by golly, they were on the right frequency. Then I found out that some of the Aboriginal tribes in Australia, I had someone from Australia in class and asked if they knew of an Aboriginal village that had no electricity. So I checked those people out. They were on the right frequency. So that support, that doesn't really prove what I was saying, but I think it does always support it. See, we're bombarded with cell phone frequencies, microwave frequencies, garage door openers, radar, Lord knows what. And all it goes through our bodies, because you can take your cell phone, stick it under your arm, and hold your arm close to your body, and it's still going to ring. What does that tell you? That tells you that frequency's got to go through your body to get to that cell phone. So our bodies are constantly bombarded with frequencies of some kind. The good news is I have every reason to believe that we can neutralize the negative effect of frequencies upon us.
Well, you know, it occurs to me that there might be another reason as well. What about all the intermarriage that has happened between races? And you say each race has a frequency, but what if a person's makeup is Irish, Indian, and Scotch?
Well, that would change it a little bit, but that wouldn't change it near as much. And I'll tell you why. Now, this is just based on what I found with dowsing. I've showed this to doctors, I've showed it to scientists, and all of them says, yeah, it looks like you're right, but we don't know what scale you're measuring on. So a lot of times my work is a way to tell me what's going on, but can I really come out there and say, hey, folks, this is this is scientific evidence. No, I really can't say that. I really can't say that about a lot of stuff I do, but still yet we get results.
Mm-hmm.
But and I really don't try to sell anybody on an idea. I just say, this is what I found. If you think it helps you, then use it. If you think it don't, then just discard it. Because I really am not in the business of converting people to my way of thinking. I am in the business of sharing information if someone wants to listen. And people say, what do you do about skeptics? And I say, that's real easy. I ignore them. The frequency range that I have found, and please understand this, that what I have found based on my findings alone runs from about 0.5 to 3 on a scale. That's a very narrow range.
Oh,
all right?
Okay.
But most people are way off the scale by maybe 18 or 20 points. And that would not have happened through any kind of interracial marriage or anything like that. For example,
okay.
If one race of person is at 0.5, like we people who have Irish ancestry, our frequency is about 0.5. Somebody from up in Northern Europe in the Russia area, they have a frequency of about 1. Maybe Native Americans have a frequency of about 1.5, somewhere like that. So, see, it might shift it a little bit, but it's not going to shift it in a great amount. Because I find people on a frequency 18 and 20 and 23 and all that. So it really took something to mess it up that bad.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, it's just a thought. It's probably a combination of a lot of things, but I do agree that the electromagnetic energies that we're all dealing with have messed up a lot of things. Our sense of awareness is affected by all those radio waves and everything that are hitting us every day. And is there a way to protect ourselves from those?
Well, I believe there is, and I'll tell you why. A few years back, one of my friends was doing a dowsing class and invited me to join them. My friend Bill Northern, at the time he was president of the American Society of Dowsers. And Bill's also a horse talker. He uses dowsing to communicate with horses, and mostly horses, but also other animals. He's quite good at it. But anyway, in the class, he had us all out there to look for what he called a noxious energy zone. Well, I didn't know what we were looking for, but I found something, as I did the other people in class, and we were all in pretty much agreement on where it was. So Bill comes over and says, show me what's causing it. Well, none of us knew. He pointed to a transformer on a light pole probably 100 feet away on the other side of the street. He said, that's it over there. I think that's interesting. So about an hour later, I said, Bill, let's get the group together and go ahead and find that noxious energy zone. He said, we've already found it. And yeah, let's do it again. And he didn't see a reason to, but he kind of went along with me. And everybody went out there looking for it. We couldn't find it. Well, here he comes. He said, I'll show you where it is. Well, he couldn't find it either. He said, what did you do with it? Well, all I did was neutralize the negative effect of it.
Oh, okay. So how do we ask that question when we're working with the pendulum?
Well, I would simply ask, what is the effect of... let's just take, for example, the transformer on the light pole near your home. What's the effect of this upon me? The effect upon the energy that it produces? What's the effect upon me, upon my family? And you would get a negative reading on a scale of 0 to 100%, plus or minus. You might get a minus 40, 50, even higher reading. And then I just ask to neutralize the negative effect upon me. This stuff is simple. If you bat your eyes, you're going to miss it.
Okay, because where I live, we have one of those electrical boxes in my front yard that is like
I'd suggest you just check to see what the effect is on you, and if it has a negative effect, has to neutralize that negative effect. You might also want to scramble the frequency of it and adjust it to a different frequency, something that would be beneficial for you.
Scramble to a beneficial energy. Wow. That's amazing.
Remember, look, let's go back to the first statement I made, the first principle of my work. All things are composed of energy. That includes electrical boxes, transformers.
Yes.
All things are composed of energy. The intelligent human mind can change energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wow, I'm learning a lot here. Okay. Well, in your book, your wonderful book, Techniques That Work for me, you have all sorts of things that you've worked with, from removing spirit attachments, demons, poltergeists, curses, all sorts of things like that. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. Be glad to. What I would like to say is we have used dowsing a large number of times to make better conditions for in people's homes and offices where they work, where the kids go to school. Let me just give you an example. There is one gentleman, he wishes to remain unidentified, but he is a school administrator, and he was in my class once, and I taught him how to do this. And in 2010, according to, and you can go back and read my newsletter on this. I've look at my archive newsletters, and this was one we put out in June of this year. And these are his figures, not mine, that in 2010, that is before that we worked on a school, there were over 1,200 what he called referrals. Back when I was a kid, they called it being sent to the office. They've gotten politically correct now and call it referrals. Okay, but same thing. There were over 1,200 of them that year. He was in class. And I said, well, I'll be glad to help clean school up. We did it. In 2011, there was a little over 200, dropped from over 1,200 to 200. And all we did was change the energy.
Look, amazing.
I've got a really nice letter from a Canadian Mountie thanking me for dropping the violent crime rate to zero in Eskimo Village. Look up Baltimore Project in our archive newsletters. This is how two people lowered the homicide rate in Baltimore. Now, they didn't have the blessings of the city fathers and the politicians and all that. And, of course, those people are probably claiming credit for it now. But what happened, these people took the project on, and not only did they drop the homicide rate, they raised the energy in the town. Now, since they were working strictly alone and wanted to remain anonymous, nobody knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. They just did it. And I'll tell you how they did it to a great degree. As a matter of fact, you can in archive newsletters, you can read in their words. I didn't change a word of it. You can read exactly what they did. But one of the things they did, they played my Energize Your Life DVD. They put it on the constant replay on the TV, computer every morning going before they went to work, and they would put a map of Baltimore in front of it. See, we've created films that I don't think anything has been done like this before. I created a film that would change the energy not only where the film was played, but where it was directed to. Now, let me back up a little bit. Back in, I guess it was the 30th of March of 04, I was on Coast to Coast Show with George Norrie, and George asked if I would change the energy of water in all the water containers set beside the radio across America. Well, I didn't know if that could be done or not, but I thought, well, let's give it a try. We got nothing to lose. Worst we'll do is break even. And then after the station break, the caller started calling in that the water tasted different. They drank it and aches and pains left and all that. Well, we didn't really know this was going to happen, but we were most glad that it did. So then we got to thinking, if we can change the energy of water over radio waves, we can change it with a film. So we created a video and sent it out to people and asked them to test it. And they could put a container of water in front of the TV set, play the video, and by golly, the energy of the water changed. The taste of it would change. We even had reports of cleaning up fish aquariums in the house. All this was surprising. Now, my friend Ken Bloom, who's listening in today from up in Pennsylvania, wrote me one day and said that his son had a well with it had a lot of bad odor and taste. I think it was manganese in it. I'm not real sure, but some element I wasn't real familiar with. And he says, I cleaned it up overnight last night. Well, I thought he had energized the water and poured it down the well, but he couldn't do that because the well had a sealed cap on it. What he did, he simply played the film and with the intent that what I was doing on that film would be applied to the water in that well, and the well was 85 miles away, but the next day the water tasted better. Now, we've had people that had sulfur in their water for maybe 60 years. They'll come to class, go back home, and they can't taste the sulfur in the water.
Wow.
Look, we've got stuff that most people would consider miracles that's happened. I mean, they've come in over the years. I'm sure you're not aware of this, and that's why I'm telling you. We've got a couple of folks down in Austin, Texas, that was in a place with me about 3 years ago that had a swimming pool that was kind of a light brown because that's the color of the water down there. They didn't want to swim in it. They wouldn't drink it. They didn't really want to bathe in it. By the time they got home, they got a spark and put a pool. And the water's been good ever since. Now,
that is amazing.
After a while, you just run out of coincidences. I mean, there's not that many people out there lying to me. This stuff is working.
Right. And, well, that's the proof of anything is, does it work?
Yeah.
And
well, I think that's the first question I always ask you, does it work?
Yes.
And we, in all honesty, Caroline, I didn't know this was going to happen. All I said was, let's see what we can do. You can do a lot if you don't know you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you another example. I really am wanting to get this word out there, and I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk to all the folks that are listening today. But I was talking one day to someone who works for Virginia Department of Environmental Quality, and I was telling him about working on a well up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, that was loaded with arsenic. But by golly, when the Canadian government tested the water 2 months later, there was no arsenic in it.
Oh.
And he said, well, now, I can't believe that because that's impossible. I said, sir, you spent thousands of dollars and a few years of your life learning and you couldn't do it. I saved money, never went to school and did it.
That is just unbelievable. My gosh, that you could remove arsenic. I mean, that's deadly.
Well, that's what, look, that was his testimony. He got back to me because when he asked if I'd clean it up, I said, well, I don't know anything about arsenic, but I'll see what I can do. You know what we did? We scrambled a frequency of arsenic and turned it into water. If you scramble a frequency of something, you turn it into something else.
Mm.
Did I know it would work? No, but I didn't know it wouldn't either.
Yeah, and it was worth a try.
I said, you have it tested and let me know. 2 months later, he said, you've got 90% of arsenic out of the water. I said, well, have it tested again in about a year and let me know. And then they could barely find a trace of arsenic.
Wow. That is just really something.
Well, they not even scratched the surface of the ability of the human mind.
Yes.
Doubting is simply one of the ways of doing it.
Yes. Like you, I'm very concerned about the waters of the world because, I mean, the oceans are dying. There are so many. There are 415 dead spots in the oceans with no oxygen in them, and you know, it's from runoff from rivers that flow into the ocean carrying fertilizers and herbicides and all sorts of chemicals, and we could actually affect things like that.
Well, let me give you another story. This would have been probably April of this year. A farmer lives about 100 miles away, has a dairy farm. Really nice fella. He called me and he said, I really got a problem. He said, I had some weeds in my alfalfa field, so I called the local farm supply store to come out and spray the weeds. Well, what went wrong was they picked up the wrong jug of chemicals and they sprayed his alfalfa field with Roundup. He said he could not even find a living alfalfa plant in the field. I said, how long is it going to take to get over this? He said, a year. I got to plow it all up, reseed, start over. Well, losing a year's alfalfa crop to a dairy farmer is a major loss.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm kind of partial to farmers anyway. I got a saying, it's bad manners to cuss a farmer with your mouth full. And so I'm really pretty partial to farmers and ranchers. And I said, you know, I'd really like to help you. Don't plow it up just yet. Let me see what I can do. About a month later, he sent me a series of pictures of the day they cut hay. It was the best alfalfa crop he's ever had in his life. And I talked to him about a month ago. He's already had 4 cuttings this year, and probably by now, he's probably already gotten the 5th cutting. You know what we did? We scrambled the frequency of the Roundup and adjusted to fertilize.
Oh, my goodness. And
look,
so
it's in my last newsletter. I can't even tell you how to find my newsletter. Somebody else operates my newsletters, my website's for me. I'm kind of computer illiterate. But somewhere out there, type in Raymond Gray's newsletter. I found it that way one day, and it came up. And there are the pictures of the hay field today that got hay.
That is amazing. So this alfalfa that was dying, came back to life and produced not one but five cuttings. That is just amazing, Raymond.
Well,
I'm just astounded.
Is, I didn't know at the time he first told me that he couldn't find any live alfalfa plants. If he had told me that, I might not have had the confidence that we could change it. But he didn't tell me, which was a good thing. I didn't know that until he was in my class in July. And then I asked him if he might stand up and tell the audience the story about it. And that's when he said he couldn't find a single alfalfa plant. And I think, well, I didn't know. That's probably a good thing I didn't.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That is just incredible. So everyone needs to learn how to use these, how to do these things. We all have to have water. Our body is 75% water. We have to have good water. And, you know, a lot of our city water is not, you know, it's heavily chlorinated and fluoridated, and it's just not the healthiest water around. So we can neutralize those things and scramble the frequency to be pure water.
Well, I've done it a lot of times. I was having dinner one night with a group of people in Missouri, and there's a veterinarian sitting right across the table from me. I waited until he took a sip of his water, and then without saying anything, I just took the chlorine out of it. In a few minutes, he took another sip, and he looked at me kind of wild. He said, "What did you just do to my water?" I took the chlorine out of it. He said, "That's what I thought." He said, "I can't taste it."
Wow. Okay. So you can just have the chlorine removed and scramble the energy, or?
Well, that's what I did.
Oh, okay.
But now,
all right. I'm just looking
for. Let me explain to Caroline. I have spent a lifetime building up confidence to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can anybody do it? If they believe they can, they probably can. Our belief system is a dominant factor that controls everything that happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't corner the market on any of this stuff. I freely teach other people how to do it. But I don't want to hear many skeptics out there telling them it can't be done. I'll just delete your email. I won't give it any time. Why? Because I will do my best to help people that really want to learn something, but I pay no attention and give no energy to anybody telling me it can't be done. I just don't want them to get in the way, so I just delete their email.
Yes. Well, you're a smart man.
Well,
I learned
I
a long time ago that
I just don't want to put up with idiots. Politically correct is not one of my problems. We probably won't get into that today, but I just thought I'd go ahead and make that statement to start with, just to let folks know. I just call spade a spade, and I do whatever I can to help people as willing to help themselves. I don't believe in spiritual welfare. That's what I told you this morning in our conversation.
Right.
So will I do things for other people who's not willing to help themselves? No. I help them do it themselves. And there's this old saying, and y'all know you've heard it, everybody else says, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, you teach him to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. I'm interested in teaching people.
Yes.
Because,
and
really,
that's why I invited you to be on the show, Raymond. Because
I thank you for the invitation. Well, now, really, Caroline, when we get the level of consciousness of enough people in this world high enough, we can do miracles. We can. I really believe we can eliminate pollution. If what I'm doing on such a small scale here could be amplified, and it can, all we got to do is get more people doing it, then we can change so many things in this world. Now, I want to throw something else out before we run out of time. I've got a free video out there. Our second project for our foundation is stopping abuse on women and kids. It always bothered me to live on a planet that so many people were being severely abused, and I didn't know what to do about it until recently. And I guess the universe sent me Faye Henry to do filming for me and run a website, because she's got the technology to do that, and I didn't have. And I was invited to speak to a CEO of a person over in Europe that had a foundation wanting to eliminate human trafficking. And I didn't really know anything about human trafficking, so I invited the fellow to call me. And we discussed this a little bit, and I got some information from him. Bottom line, I took on a small country over there to see if we could eliminate the human trafficking. Well, I won't say we eliminated it, but the word I got back was we reduced it considerably. And I wanted to get this word out to people. And I wanted it to be available to anybody out there for free. So we created a film, and I call it Blueprint for Freedom. And it's like the other films. I've made films that's a little different than most. All you do is write down the name of who or what you want to work on. Maybe it's a battered women's shelter. Maybe it's just a house down the road where the kids are getting beat up or whatever. But you write it down. All it does is gives your left brain something to focus on. And you play that film and watch it with the intent. Now, this is a key thing here because the folks out there using it, they got a part to play in this too. With the intent that the energy I'm producing on that film is being applied to that home, that women's shelter, the jail, hospital, nursing home, whatever it is. Because the same principles that contribute to human trafficking, contribute to schoolyard bullies and abuse in nursing homes, jails, schools, everywhere else. And that's why we made the film. And it's blunt, down to earth. Everything I do is. Anybody that wants to watch it, go to RaymondGraceFoundation.org. My name is spelled without a D. It's R-A-Y-M-O-N. RaymondGraceFoundation.org. Click on What We Do, watch Blueprint for Freedom. Feel free to send a link to anybody you want to that's got any kind of an abuse problem or wants to help with one. My commercial site is the 3 W's and the dot, RaymondGrace.us. And I've got another one called RaymondGraceProjects.com. And it's a lot of information in that is what can you do with dowsing. So the foundation site tells some of the things we've been doing. And also on the foundation site, or is project site, I'm not sure which one, we have one called Random Acts of Kindness, where we address what I believe to be a major factor in obsessive compulsive behavior, ADD, ADHD, all this kind of stuff, because we've had really good results. Now, we haven't had perfect results. I want to make it very clear, but we've had very good results. And I know a lot of people out there live with people, or maybe you got kids with that problem, so we wanted to give them something that they could use. It's free. It's real simple. Now, there's not much of an explanation with it, but it's free. Just go there, look at it, use it, and hopefully it'll help you out some. So you go. It's your turn now.
Okay, sounds wonderful. Have you worked with autism at all?
Well, not really. I don't really know the difference in autism and ADD and all that stuff. What I think I have found is that one of the major causes, and I'm not going to say it's the entire cause because it probably isn't, and I think it's three things. One is it is an imbalance of blood flow to the appropriate areas of the brain. Next, it's an imbalance of right and left brain hemisphere and an imbalance of brain chemistry. And I have every reason to believe that we can use dowsing and focused intent to correct these problems because we've done it.
That would be...
Actually, I was my own first customer. I've been my own first customer on most of this stuff. I didn't realize it until about 10, 12 years ago, but that was what was creating a depression and aggressiveness. So when I started feeling those feelings coming on, I would simply balance the blood flow to my brain, and in 10 minutes, I was fine.
Okay, so blood flow to the brain, the two hemispheres, and
chemistry.
I'm making notes, and chemistry.
Now, it's not a matter of more or less blood flow. To be technically correct, as far as I know, you would say it in this manner. It's the blood flow to the appropriate areas of the brain.
To appropriate areas.
And the way
way
I measure that, I just simply ask, to what degree is the blood flow of this person's brain balanced? And it'll run anywhere between 0 and 100%. Plus, if it's 100%, it's fine. But there's literally an epidemic of this stuff.
I know. That's why I'm asking this question.
I created a film, and I called it Energetic Epidemics. And it's available on our foundation site. And it addresses that plus a lot of other things. Now, I'm not claiming it's a cure-all at all. I'm just saying we've had good results helping a lot of people with it.
Okay. Well, we will certainly try that because I do have friends with autistic children, and it would be wonderful if we could help with that. So,
well, we made it available for free. No, like I said, it's not an explanation. It's just what I'm doing in that film. I'm simply balancing the blood flow to the brain, right and left brain hemisphere, and brain chemistry of those people who are watching it and receptive to it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try that. Also, let's see. You've given your websites and everything. Do you ever come out west to do any speaking?
No, I haven't been out there. I haven't been to California in about 7 years. I don't fly.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's a long drive from Virginia.
Those bullets I found in my backpack and I let my Homeland Security made me decide to stay off of airplanes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's too bad because I'd love to have you come out here and teach some classes. That would be wonderful. Well, let's get back to.
I mean, I'm not on a no-fly list or anything. I just don't choose to fly.
Right. Well, I understand that. Okay. I did want to talk about also, there's so many things that you cover. I would advise everyone to buy your Techniques That Work For Me book. And also for parents out there, Mr. Grace has a wonderful book called Seasons of April, which chronicles his parenting of his daughter, April. And it's the most amazing book. I think it's something every parent should read. Are those available for sale on one of your websites?
They are. They're available at raymondgrace.us.
.us. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And
all
what
right.
It is, I wrote the book just like I was talking to her. And all my books have been printed in Chinese as well as English, and I've sold more of those books in Asia than I have in America.
Mm. Well, we sure need to sell a lot more in America, too, because people don't realize that when they're yelling at their kid or calling them names or blaming them for something that's happened, that they are destroying that child's self-esteem. And,
well, they are, and there's another epidemic, and especially among women, and that's low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know this because I can tell by talking to them, and they will also tell me this. Most of my clients and most of the people that come into the class are women. I mean, some places we have an equal amount of men, but generally speaking, there's more women attend than men. But I was fortunate to have the information about how the brain worked before April was born. So I always wondered, what could a kid do if they didn't know if he couldn't do it? And I started using her for an experiment. And by experiment, I mean there was not a day went by but what I said, I'm proud of you. Most kids, I don't think, ever hear that. A lot of adults have told me they never heard that from their parents. I never let one day go by without saying it at least once, but probably several times. A child will live up to or down to our expectations.
Yes, I believe you're right. And you also enforced a lot of positive actions on her part.
Oh, did indeed.
You empowered her. Yeah. And that is so important because I think, I don't know if it's that people get too busy to think about it. They don't want to answer the kids' questions. It's like, shut up, you don't need to know that. Or, you know, they're just rude to their children.
Little kids are very curious. And every time she would stop to look at something and make a comment, I had one standard comment I made. You are very observant.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I never said, come on, we don't have time to look at it. That's not important, whatever. The comment was, you are very observant.
Mm-hmm. So, an amazing difference. And also, you taught her how to be aware of her intuition without calling it that. You would say, what color car is going to come down the road toward us in the next few minutes?
Mm-hmm. It was a game.
And
we turned everything into a game. Kids like to play games, so you make learning a game.
Yeah, but, I mean, the things you taught are things we don't teach in school. We talk about learning, and everybody thinks, oh, math and history and science. But there's so much common sense that we need to have, you know, we need to learn, or we need to have pointed out to us that this is the way you reason about this.
That's why I wouldn't let her go to school until she was 14. She never attended elementary school. Why? Because the first 14 years of a child's life is when they're forming opinions and values, and I was not about to turn those over to a public school system. At 14, she said she would like to go to high school. And I said, fine. If you want to go, have a good time. We'll pave the way for you. I did my energy work. I cleaned up the school. And she went to school happy about every day and came home happy. Most kids in America don't get to do that. But they could. If one parent in the school knew how to change energy, they could change it for all the rest of the kids. Now, let me give you a story. I was making a talk at the Education Foundation of Virginia Beach a few years back, and I was telling some stories about this. One lady stood up and says, thank you for explaining it. I said, what did I explain? She says, we traveled a lot when my child was in school, and he was probably in a dozen different schools, never did any good in any of them, didn't make good grades, didn't like them, except one. It just so happens he went to the same school that April did at the same time. Oh. And I always wondered why he liked school and why he did so well. So now I know.
So, yes, you had balanced the energy there. Okay, oh, yeah. Raymond, we are running out of time here. I want to thank you for joining us today. It was wonderful. And I would like to invite you to come on again sometime in the future, because I think we only touched the tip of the iceberg today. And I know you have a lot more to share, but thank you so much. To all our listeners, be sure and tune in next week. I have Christine Stevens coming on. She wrote a book about healing with sound and music, and it's something you really enjoy. So thank you all for listening today. May the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence. Thank you. Have a good week.